That's a good question. That's a good question. So a lot has happened since our last episode of the Create Quest podcast with Josh Johnson and Chris Bevan.
Oh God, really? Are we going to do it this way?
It has to be slightly embarrassing or we're not doing it right.
True.
I guess really the first thing that we should at least mention in passing is that we have a brand spanking new website design.
Yes. With a lot less stuff. We kept chopping it down, or I chopped it down to basically nothing. But I think when you think, hey, we released a new website, people may think you go on there and you're going to see all kinds of functionality. But honestly, the new website, exactly, the new website was remove bells and whistles, remove functionality and focus on speed. I think the one thing that you will see on there is a clarity of content and lightning fast speed on every single device. So that's what's most important for us right now. And then we'll keep improving, right?
Yeah, most definitely. So we have actually stripped away the course/quest functionality for now. That's a four now. That's going to be one of the first features we add back into it.
Well, a bunch of bug fixes. Well, no, a couple bug fixes. And then we're going to be adding in Sensei LMS, learning management system on that. But sweet. It's going to be our own make of it and do what we want to with it.
Yeah, that's really exciting for me, especially I think since the latest book that we have both been reading is really making us rethink some of the courses we were putting up in the first place. So it's going to be a blast to see what kind of information that we can share.
Yeah, The Art of the Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler. That's the book we're talking about right now. If anybody has actually listened to this podcast and gone through a lot of our posts on our website, you will understand that both Joss and I went through the coach program with Optimize.me, which is a wonderful and free for the Wisdom website. I'd definitely suggest you check it out. So it's packed chock full of tons of universal wisdom. But what's wonderful about The Art of the Impossible is it almost takes every single bit of that wisdom and puts it into one book and then gives you a aspect of it that comes from biology that is universal. Most of the wisdom that you see in Optimize.me is very personal. It's all about personality. But Stephen Kotler is able to move through the same wisdom and say, hey, this is just biology. It'll work for everybody if you do it this way. And so there's a rethinking of, you know, everything that we thought before, which is wonderful.
Just so there's a bit of clarity here, The Art of Impossible is a book on peak performance and how to achieve peak performance through defining an overarching purpose, developing the grit and autonomy and mastery to pursue that purpose, and then using creativity and flow to expand that purpose to something that may seem impossible. Word for word, it is probably the most information dense book that I have ever read in my life. The value that is delivered in that book is just mind boggling.
Right.
And I read a lot, and so do you. We both read a lot, and I am saying that this is the book that I think could benefit people in a very broad sense. It could benefit the most people with the most information if they follow the advice. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. Yes, I totally agree. And I do have to say that, I mean, we're coming into this book after years of learning through the Optimize program, of being introduced to a lot of this universal wisdom, understanding motivation, momentum, flow in some way, goals, grit, drive, curiosity, passion, purpose, autonomy, persistence, determination, and all this kind of stuff. So we have kind of an already introductory to such a dense book. And when I was listening to the very end of it, and he summed up the checklist for entering the flow state, because it's really a book about the flow state and how to enter this flow state more consistently and more often, longer, blah, blah, blah. There was so much wisdom there that I felt that any person that was actually just reading that end of it would be overwhelmed and just say, I ain't got time for this. This is crazy. What is all this craziness? So be careful. If you're not introduced to a lot of the wisdom and you jump right into that book, it may be a bit overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. It could definitely be overwhelming. So let's take an 80-20 approach to it. What piece of advice from The Art of Impossible do you think would benefit creators the most?
That is a really, really good question. And honestly, it starts at the beginning of the book. Right. Especially if you're a creator that doesn't create, a painter that doesn't paint, a writer that doesn't write, a creator that just doesn't create. Are you a business owner that's not creating a business today because you just don't have the motivation? And that's where it starts with is, well, honestly, passion, purpose, autonomy, mastery, curiosity. This is where it starts with, which is, subset of an idea of motivation. And you can get that really from the beginning of the book. And I say this because of years and years being involved with other creators. And I consistently hear the same thing over and over and over again, which is, yeah, I kind of stopped that months ago. I haven't painted in months, haven't drawn in months, I haven't written in months. And it's not getting these stacked intrinsic motivators right in your life. And I think that's where it starts. I mean, even, building a visualization of this book, starting with motivation, goals, grit, and drive. So yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing,
I think,
in my opinion.
I think you're definitely right on that one. If we're being honest, he sort of lays the book out in a way that makes the most sense to start here, move through here, do this. So he even lays it out, I think, in a way that if you start where he recommends and you follow his path, you're going to end up reaching the end of the book and being like, holy crap, I have a direction,
Okay. The one thing that I will say about that is you're totally right. Yeah. It's almost a checklist, a timeline. Okay. Here's where you start. You got to put this, you have to stack this item on next and get this right. Then stack this item on next. But if you reach the end of the book and you're like, I know it all now. Yeah. You're going to have to I have the ebook and the audiobook and I'm going through both. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to stick with this book for months to really build this in, not only into my long-term memory, but build it into my life, myself, and experience, and figure out how I can get all of these intrinsic, extrinsic drivers to work towards, my big, massively transformative goals that he talks about.
I mean, again, though, you and I, we've already worked through a lot of the foundational work for ourselves. And even though we've done that, I think we both want to take our time to consume and digest all of the information in this book. So this book specifically is the book that was like, wow, I'm going to slow down. I'm not worried about reading all of the books. I want to consume the best of whatever I'm reading. And if that takes me a month, if that takes me 2 months, if that takes me a year, that's how long it's going to take to get through this book, because I really want to digest the information instead of just consume it so that I can regurgitate it at other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause you got to live it to really understand it. And it's like a diet, or as I like to say, a lifestyle. a lot of times you look at magazines, you look at other programs for an eating lifestyle, and they'll say, hey, we can get you thin in, you know, whatever, a month or whatever, you know, lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, which is really unhealthy, by the way. And they tend to gloss over the idea that in order to have a very healthy, transformative lifestyle with your physiology, it's not a week thing, a month thing, or 2 month or year thing. It's a rest of your life thing, right? That's the kind of commitment you have to understand. And that's where I feel that all the wisdom in this book is about. You have to slow down. Just on part one, I could probably spend a year getting all of those, getting motivation, passion, the full intrinsic stack, goals, grit, ferocity, really kind of plugged into my life. So it runs on autopilot. I could see myself spending a year on that and being probably the most important thing that I ever do in my life is getting those things correct. And I'm not saying this because, oh, this is the only book you should ever read. It's because Josh and I have gone through books and books and books, philosopher notes and information. And this is kind of like a culmination of all that wisdom that we've already known. And he puts it in a very clear, scientific-based, biological-based means that shores up our ideas that we kind of already knew. Okay. So it's not like, hey, this is a really cool book and I think we should do this. It's, wow, it's the same wisdom, but with a clearer pathway. So spending those months on just getting part one motivation right.
I think the word we're missing, or the word we're sort of dancing around, is it's very practical. It is.
Oh God. Yeah.
It is literally laid out step by step on how to really turn your curiosities into something that fulfills you and can help other people, and then gives you a roadmap of like, this is exactly what you can do to achieve those massive, transforming, life-changing goals that you can develop. And it's going to look really boring from the outside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that he goes into that. Like, you know, this is what it looks like to do the impossible. It's so boring.
It was so boring. He was like, Peter Diamandis is working on changing the space frontier. And this is what it looked like. He wakes up. He makes his coffee. He sits down at the computer and types for a little bit. He goes to lunch. He uses the bathroom sometimes.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
He talks with some people and then he does it all again.
Yeah. Over and over again. This is how you make an amazing life kind of thing. But you're right. Practical is probably one of the best words you could say about this. And even at the beginning of the book, I had to look up the definition for hyperbole. And he said, okay, let's get rid of the hyperbole and get down to actual practical terms. And hyperbole, I'm looking at the definition right now, exaggerated statements or claims not meant to be taken literally. And you see, I mean, Brian Johnson from Optimize does this a lot, where there's a lot of hyperbole and he'll make a statement and it's like, this is the best thing ever in the world and you should do it because blah, 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 with some science. And even the science is a little bit in doubt in some places. So it becomes kind of a motivator. Right. And he's really wonderful at motivating people. So it works well. But I love how practical The Art of Impossible is. And Stephen Kotler just gets rid of the hyperbole and says, listen, this is what it's really about right here.
And it's all broken down into the biology of it. So Stephen Kotler's motto, which you alluded to earlier, is, oh, I'm going to butcher it. Something along the lines of, where psychology fails, biology, oh, what was it? Scales. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that was good. I think that was pretty darn close.
I think it was close. It was close. So he literally breaks it down into the evolutionary reasons that we need these intrinsic drivers and how to achieve them and what happens in the brain. Now, the neurochemistry is completely lost on me, but I love the fact that he puts it in the book. He's like, you're getting addicted to dopamine right now. I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah.
But it really boils down to, you know, once your basic needs are met, and this goes back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So basic needs are met, then you have a potential to fulfill. And there's an actual evolutionary reason for it, because once your needs are met, the best way to ensure survival for your species or your tribe is to help the rest of the tribe. So there is a reason for being selfless once you've been selfish enough to meet your needs. There's a reason to help other people, and that's where your purpose comes in. And then he gives you all of the reasons about fulfilling your purpose through flow and creativity. It's
that was probably one of the best parts for me, because that's right at the beginning, you know, figuring out purpose. And if, you know, all great teachers of wisdom of getting to the impossible or achieving your life goals, they will all start with a sense of purpose, right? With motivation, drive, grit, you know, these kind of things. But I could not really define what purpose was. And we would talk on our Optimize for Creatives meeting, and what is purpose? People would ask. And I'm like, well, it's when you're really excited about something, and it would be a lot of hyperbole. But when you break it down into, this is the actual science of it, this is all part of evolutionary aspects of your life and why it's important to you. And that's what makes purpose. And this is what happens in your brain when you are on purpose. Yeah, it's a wonderfully practical way to describe it and getting rid of all the conjecture of, yeah, definitely.
Purpose is what gets you out of bed in the morning. But why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help you find
your purpose. That's why.
Right. It doesn't help you find your purpose, but it's another kind of peg in there to see how important purpose is for you and why we need it.
So if Stephen Kotler listens to this podcast, that would be freaking amazing. Hi, Steve. If it's okay if I call you Steve, probably not, but I'll say that anyway. I hope you don't sue us, Steve, but I would like to actually just go through the sort of a rough outline of developing a curiosity all the way into a purpose. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
You start.
I'll start. So in the earlier chapters of the book, he defines this full intrinsic stack. Now, as someone who's taken nootropics in the past, I appreciate the term stack. So stacking nootropics is finding these smart drugs that have a very synergistic effect, like caffeine with L-theanine, which is found in green tea. He uses the same terminology in terms of intrinsic motivators, and he starts with curiosity. Now, turning a curiosity, which is just something that you could research without getting bored, into a passion involves taking multiple curiosities, seeing where they intersect, and spending real time learning about how they intersect and how they have sort of a synergistic relationship. So the example he used was insect proteins for athletes. So it was how insect proteins could be a good protein source for athletes, specifically all of the benefits, blah, blah, blah. Now, my wife's curiosity intersection is how being a fit parent can help her be a better, more present parent. So it's fitness and parenting and how they have a synergistic relationship. So that's how you take these curiosities and turn them into something a bit more by looking at the intersections and how they can play together. And you start to develop a passion for those intersections. But a passion is selfish. A passion is very greedy. It's very inward focused about the things that you enjoy.
Then you go public with it. You know, cultivating real passion isn't this overnight process. you get it out there, right? And you show it to people, you get feedback. And then, like he says, you transform it into purpose by creating value for other individuals. You know, how can my passion, you bring on, you know, another bubble of that Venn diagram. How can the things that I'm passionate about, these intersections of two or three things come together and actually help the public in some way, help people other than yourselves? That's what changes passion, like you said, Josh, which is very selfish, into purpose, where you're helping someone else. And then we get into the full intrinsic stack. You know, what does it take to get on that road for passion and purpose? And I thought this was really wonderful, especially his description of autonomy and how important it is. And I've always thought this, well, in less concrete, less practical way. For example, years ago, my wife worked at the Woodland Park Zoo. And I decided one day, hey, I'm going to come out to you and I'm going to take a bus and see how long it takes, you know, and maybe I can listen to a book or something like that. It took so freaking long to get to her that it was, I mean, we couldn't do anything afterwards. We had to just drive home, you know, get something to eat out, I think. It was ridiculous. This was years ago. And I was thinking, wow, individuals that don't have vehicles and need to drive or take a bus to work every day, which is wonderful for the environment. It's such a wasted amount of time. It's such a drain on your autonomy that it would be very difficult for these individuals to find their passion and pursue it because you just don't have time. And that's part of autonomy, you know, having this time to really pursue things. You know, I'm super lucky because I work the job I have, I telecommute to, so I don't have, you know, this big commute. So it gives me even more autonomy to be able to do things like this podcast, work on my artwork, work on CreateQuest, you know, that kind of stuff. And how important autonomy is to get to that passion purpose recipe, that full intrinsic stack. So that was a really wonderful part of the book.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people might think that they have no autonomy, but Stephen Kotler also lays out the practices from Google and 3M talking about, you know, 15 to 20% time. It's actually right. Plenty of time to at least slowly pursue your massively transformative purpose, your big goals, whatever those may be. So Even if you don't have a lot of autonomy, as long as you can claim like 5 to 8 hours per week to just pursue something that interests you, whether that's before work, after the kids are in bed, there is a space to do that as long as you're able to carve that out.
This is what I'm all about. I mean, you go to my website, chrisbevin.com, actually, and even CreateQuest, because I talk about it all the time, about setting a minimum and doing what you can every single day. I was an artist that didn't do things for years. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to do something every single day for the rest of my life. But then you get practical, Stephen Kotler, practical style, right? And you say, well, some days I'm not going to be able to do a painting every single freaking day. So I set this minimum of 30 minutes a day, every single day. And that equals out to 3.5 hours a week. And I've gone months of just doing that, and it's kept me into my art practice, just the 30 minutes every single day, and how important that is for just getting the movement forward, because that builds something else that's really important. The grit to show up and do your 30 minutes when you don't feel like it. It gives you that goal every single day to do X, Y, and Z, you know, to do your art, to do a little bit of writing, to do this and that. More and more, I see the power of setting those minimums and doing what you can every single day. Get the book. Definitely get the freaking book. It's the wonderful. Book.
It is.
The ebook, the audiobook. It's fantastic. and then work it, work the book. Don't read it and figure that you know everything. Actually, work the book.
Work through it very slowly, actually.
If you're a creator out there actually listening to us, actually, a lot of people that we talk to and they look at CreateQuest, they're like, well, I'm not really an artist, so I'm not going to bother with CreateQuest. It's not what it's about. It's for all creators. And if you're making something, developing something, which you are, you're developing a life in some way. Hopefully, you've reached a little bit higher on that Maslow triangle. All of your needs are met and you can go further. You're going to be creating something. Even if you're a parent and you're just trying to create a little one with a better life in this world, it's a creator that can use all the wisdom that we're talking about.
Yeah. Everyone's a creator.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's a creator. So when I say creators, I'm talking to you. Okay. And I would say, well, I'll go back to the most important part, not only of this book, but every single piece of wisdom that I keep reading. It's repeated over and over and over and over again. They're going to start with this curiosity, this meaning. And what does that mean, really? What fires you up? What are you interested in? What's like, hey, that's kind of cool to do. I have a lot of fun doing this. That's where it starts. So if you are, and I'm always going to go through the lens of being an artist because I am myself. If you're an artist, let's say you're starting out or you're an older individual and you haven't been back in years, you're starting out, you don't know where to start, and it's hard to get motivated because you got school, you got work, you got family, you got all this stuff. You're trying to create relationships. Here's where you start. Focus on what you like to do, what's fun. Recognize if it furthers your life in a positive way. I'm not talking video games. Video games are fun, yeah, but they're not like after you're done with that video game, you've beat World of Warcraft, you don't have anything to show for it. I'm talking about something that furthers your life creatively, such as I want to be a great figurative artist or figure drawing or whatever. Where do I start? Here's where you start. What's fun? And then 30 minutes a day. And then commit to that for the rest of your life, or commit to that for a long time and make it a habit. That's where you freaking start. That's where all these books start. And even the most practical book that I've ever read, The Art of the Impossible, starts there. Tell me I'm wrong, Josh.
No, you're not. You're not wrong at all. That sums it up very nicely. That is the starting point.
Exactly. I think we could build content for all of 2022 just on that aspect. Getting started with something you like to do and doing it daily for at least X amount of time. Because you bring in motivation, you bring in curiosity, you bring in grit, you bring in willpower, you bring in passion, you bring in habit creation. It's crazy all that can go into that. But forget about all of it. Just commit to that 30 minutes a day, because I did this way before I started reading all these books. Because I had a passion, and actually what I looked at was what do I want my life to end up as? When I'm dead or on my deathbed, what do I want to do? What have I want to have accomplished in my life? And the rate I was going, you know, 9 years ago now. At that point, I was like, if I continue on where I am right now, I am not going to be an artist, which was my deepest passion in my entire life. I'm not going to complete my life's work. That can't happen. Right? So if you're listening to this right now and you got that feeling in your gut where you know that if you don't do X, Y, and Z, that when you get to your deathbed, because you will die someday, and when you get to your deathbed and you have a stack of regrets a mile long, when you get to that point, this is when you can easily make that jump into 30 minutes a day for the rest of your life. And that's all it's taken from me. And these past 9 years has been a good stock of growth. You know, how they say, you know, it's not a perfect line going straight up and to the right, you know, of growth. It's going to look like a good stock, a bunch of ups and downs, but I'm constantly growing. And it started there. What I really enjoy to do, what I like to do, what's fun, what's going to further my life, get to my biggest purpose, and just X amount of time a day and commit to it and don't stop. Keep that streak. Today is day 3,207. And I tell people that all the time because I hope to motivate people with that because you can do it.
Well, I think that's an awesome lesson to leave people with today. So just get started. Do it every day. Set a minimum and pick up The Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler.
Yeah. He'll give you all the science of why that's important.
I think this was a good recording. I think we're going to get back to recording a little more often.
Yeah, because we always have something to talk about.